Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning. Happy New Year. Only 15, 16 days into it. And you, of course, are thinking about your health, your New Year's resolutions. Some of you have already broken, but for the most part, you're on it, I know. And what you've got to do, and what we're going to do a two-part, maybe three-part series on, is the art and science of stretching. Now, why am I going to spend your time and my time doing something, doing shows on something that, you know, superficially is just so mundane? Everybody knows how to stretch. Bend down and touch your toes. No, 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 no. I don't care if you're going to Pilates or yoga. I don't care if you learned it from your high school track coach. I don't care if you've been rolfed, hellerized. Whatever your background is, I implore you to listen to this show. I'm going to indict, in a gentle and humble way, I'm going to indict the public's concept of what stretching's all about. And I'm going to do it with as much science as we can pack in to the next hour and maybe a few hours down the road. This is vital to your health. Understanding the art and science of stretching is vital. There are many myths. There are many misconceptions. There is an enormous amount of misdirection. And please do not indulge yourself into thinking that you're getting it because you go to your weekly yoga class, because you're not. Now, that statement is the product of two decades of doing it, living it, breathing it, eating it, teaching others to do it, training yogics who own studios and who are hopefully passing on the good word correctly, and a whole lot more than that. So this is one of the topics I know an enormous amount about, so please listen. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, straighttalk.cc. That is the website to get yourself to so you can see the pictures. Some of you do the show without pictures. Cheers to you that you can attempt and succeed at that. But if you can, get to a computer so you can see the pictures. That's straighttalk.cc, not .com and with two T's. Very easy to do. Show 243. I started broadcasting April 2011, so we're going to be going into our fifth year pretty soon. Amazing. People from all over the world listening to the show. These shows are archived because you need to listen to them again and again and again. This is not a one-shot thing. There's a ton packed in. Yes, you stretch. Yes. Right now, in your mind, if you want to know how to stretch, just flip on a YouTube station and look at somebody showing you how to stretch. Concepts you have to understand, and if you don't understand them, you're wasting your YouTube time. Concepts. So we're on the website. Concept number one. Let's lay it down this way. Look at picture number one. Okay? So you're going to have to get a concept. This is the concept of what we call structural stress. So a concept you need to learn to understand and be functional with is that of structural stress. Postural stress. So I want you to look at picture number one. Now, there you go. What posture are you exhibiting? And there's a bunch of postures, and there's a bunch of postures on top of that. And it's really only the guy all the way on the right where it says good posture that's making an attempt to display a good posture. Problem with that picture is, if you want to critique from a pro, that guy that's on the good posture thing, he's forcing himself into that posture. Anytime you're forcing yourself into a posture, your posture's not good. But we'll forget that, okay? And we'll just simply say that that young man there with the subheading, good posture, is a lot closer to what you want than those other pictures. Now let's look at other themes on this. Go to picture number two. There we go. Picture number two. Good posture, poor posture, and poor posture. What you're looking at are different slopes in the spinal column, the bones of the spine. 7, 12, and 5. So you've got 24 vertebrae plus the sacrum. And as those bones hold different positions, you hold a different posture. Now, what's the big deal about poor posture, really poor posture, okay posture, and great posture? Why the emphasis on these things? Well, you've got to understand structural stress. And later on, you're going to have to understand how structural stress just doesn't break down your muscles. It just doesn't tear up your joints. It destroys your organ systems. Now, there's the first thing that you had to write down. If you're interested in learning to stretch, if you're a devotee of stretching, if you're passionate about stretching, if you understand its significance and you have an interest in your health, until you have progressed to the point where you can stretch apart your internal organs, you don't got it. Okay, so I'll be politically incorrect. You don't got it yet. Unless you've stretched to the point where you can pull apart your internal organs. Beyond the flexibility of the bones is a point at which you can start to pull the fascial adhesions apart from the organ systems. And in those adhesions are your nerves and your lymph and your arteries and your veins, all the conduits, the passageways to what controls the health of the cell is locked in to the spaces in between the organs, which you need to pull apart. So, in a better world, you'd walk into my favorite place to get your physical, Kaiser Permanente, and you've had your well-intentioned medical doctors not just give you an EKG, but give you a flexibility test. And if you fail the flexibility test, which most of you surely would, the medical doctor would say, your level of flexibility is not sufficient to open up the adhesion spaces, the adhesive spaces between your organ systems, and this will put you for greater risk of disease. And since off the genetic profiling, you're more likely to have breast or ovarian cancer or prostate cancer, you can't afford, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, not to access the tensions between the organ systems. So I'm really not fooling around here. I'm asking you to upgrade yourself. And that's what I'll be clanging for the rest of my life, for America, if not the world, to get the upgrade on what this holistic stuff is all about, because it's real. And stretching and flexibility is real. And we're barely scratching at the surface, despite the plethora of well-intentioned yoga and Pilates studios throughout the United States. Still missing the point. So let's get this upgrade because it's real. Now, let's look at again, picture number four. Let's keep going. Look at those varieties of postures in picture number four. That green line, that's your vertebral column. Those are those 24 bones plus the sacrum from the back and from the side. And what we're saying is those bones can get pulled out of position into very distorted shapes. Now, go to picture six. No, better yet, let's talk about Ida Rolf. Let's talk a moment about Ida Rolf. So go to picture seven. This is one of her well-known books, Rolfing. Yes, you've all heard of Rolfing. Yes, some of you have been Rolfed. And I think that's wonderful. Except I want you to understand what Rolfing is in its essence. And then you have to determine whether you received the Rolfing, not that you paid for it, but that you adapted yourself to the gift of rolfing. Again, I'm talking in a very specific language. Just because you stretch doesn't mean you inhabit the stretch. Just because you stretch, it doesn't mean you're getting progressively more flexible. Just because you lay down on a massage table and pay a rolfer doesn't mean you've been rolfed, or a heller worker. Just because you pay a Feldenkrais practitioner good money to be Feldenkrais, or Alexandered, or Pilates'd, doesn't mean you received the therapy. We got to get really specific about what these therapies in essence are trying to do, so you can measure the result against the claim. Otherwise, you can be spinning your wheels. And yes, I'll be politically incorrect to say most people who do these things are spinning their wheels. They're not getting the results, and nobody's telling them. It's difficult to sell somebody, look, Joe, this is your third rolfing session, but you're wasting your money. Look, Joe, you've been in the yoga class for 6 months. You're wasting your time. That's not a politically correct statement. And I think it's time to start thinking that politically incorrect is really something that we should think about before we write it off as politically incorrect. Maybe it's politically correct to start being a little more politically incorrect. I will tell you, here's where the rubber meets the road. I examine, in the last 20 years, America's understanding of the benefits of these various movements, rolfing, hella work, yoga, Pilates, Tai Chi, Qigong, and I think we're missing it because we don't have the education. And I think you have to start there. Otherwise, well, let's keep going. Picture number 6. Now that's the concept. Picture 6. Your bones are the guy on the left. And unless your bones over time, as you spend time, money, and energy in whatever structural work, like stretching, you participate in, you want to look at the guy on the right. Because if you don't, muscles start to go into compensation. Meaning the muscles that pull you out of place and bring you down have to be compensated for by muscles that pull you up. So if you look at picture number 6 again, the person on the left, because those bones don't have alignment, because those muscles don't allow that alignment to occur, because those adhesions in the tissues don't allow that alignment to occur, well, that person on the left is being pulled forward. Weight is being distributed to the toes. And once the weight goes forward, something has to pull it backwards. Something has to compensate for the forward pull. And that compensation to the forward pull, well, I want you to go now to picture number 21. Look at picture number 21. Picture 21 gives you a great shot of the back of somebody's muscles. And there's a muscle group called the erector spinae. They go from the sacrum all the way down low, all the way up to the top of your head. They go all the way from the sacrum. There are these thick cords. You know those cords. Those are those big lumps in your back. Those are those muscles that people touch in massage. Those are those thick, ropey things. Those thick, ropey things pull you back because muscles in the front pull you forward and down. And that imbalance between the forces that pull you down and then the compensatory strain of the muscles pulling you back up is what we call structural stress. Which makes it ludicrous. So I'll be strong here. It almost makes it ludicrous to ask somebody to massage out those muscles in your back of your neck and your trapezius in between your shoulder blades. Hit the low back hard. Dig those elbows in there. Pay good money for massage. Worse yet, strengthen those muscles. You ever see those guys in the gym face down on those Roman chairs and they're flexing all the way down at right angles and then coming up and they're doing this 50 times and those cords there of erector muscles are just getting tighter and shorter and tighter and shorter. All this focus on the back, strengthen the back muscles, massage out the back muscles. Why? Because that's where you feel the stress. That's where you feel the pain. That's where you feel the tension. The fact of the matter is, if you understand the essence of structural stress, you understand that it's the muscles in the front that are bringing you almost face down. They're pulling you forward, and the stress comes from the muscles of the back, particularly the erector spinae, to pull you straight up. This competition between the front muscles pulling you down and the back muscles pulling you up, that's the foundation upon which all your musculoskeletal, all your joint degeneration, and your organ degeneration. That is the foundation. That is the fundamental concept upon which you deteriorate over the years. Now, Rolf understood that. Ida Rolf, go down to picture 20, number 18. Take a look at Ida Rolf. Ida Rolf took her doctorate in the early 20s from Columbia. Think of that, a female with a PhD in biochemistry. Look at her. It's a woman with a lot of guts. She pioneered chemotherapy at the Rockefeller Institute in New York City in the 20s and 30s. That was the think tank of the world, in part still is. And she broke over time and off her intimate knowledge of yoga. In the old days, she practiced a great deal of yoga, evolved this concept of Rolfing. She even called Rolfing the bodywork of yoga. Because Ida Rolf understood, Dr. Rolf understood structural stress. Chiropractors didn't. The osteopaths didn't. The medical doctors didn't. Back then, she walked around with a suitcase for 30, 40 years trying to convince physicians of different sorts to get the point, the concept. Now, this, of course, isn't new to yoga or Tai Chi, holding center, the Dantian, building the root energy. This is understood. But in the West, back in the 20s and 30s, this was foreign. Take a look at picture 17. Now, there. If you're walking down the street, this is picture 17. If you're walking down the street like the guy on the left, as opposed to the guy on the right, rest assured the guy on the left has way more musculoskeletal strain, aches and pains, joint degeneration, organ dysfunction than the guy on the right. We say structure determines function. We say the imbalance in the anatomy creates the imbalance in the physiology, to which then you must master the art and science of stretching and flexibility. Pilates was no less. Page 19, picture 19, Joseph Pilates. I guess he must be in his 20s or 30s in that picture. Tremendous understanding of structural stress and what to do about it. To strengthen and stretch, to realign. To strengthen, to stretch, to realign. If you're strengthening but not stretching and not realigning, you're hurting yourself. If you're stretching and not realigning, you're wasting your time. Now, I'm going to talk strong like this because, relatively speaking, you are wasting your time. So if you've been in yoga for months, years, and you haven't shifted the posture, the alignment, there's something wrong with your yoga. Let's go to picture 10. So I'll put it bluntly now. Picture 10, the woman on the left and the woman on the right. That's the same woman. If the woman on the left, off Pilates, off yoga, off Rolfing, off hella work, if that woman on the left, over a period of time, 6 months, a year, 2 years, shifts to the woman on the right, she's getting her money's worth. If you're involved and you're not making that shift, something's wrong with what you're doing. But we're going to tell you why. Look at picture number 9. The gentleman on the left and the gentleman on the right. These people, 9 and 10, have been rolfed. Rolfing, hella work. Honestly, no one has a monopoly on this. You do not say rolfing is the system that changes your posture or hella work. Every system worth its salt. Any system that understands what it's doing. Karate, kung fu, anything that understands what it's doing. And any student that understands how to receive the essence of the teaching will shift the posture. Now, these were taken from people that have been rolfed. And I think Ida Rolf did a magnificent job, as did Pilates, as did Heller, of understanding this relationship between structure and function. So what's all of this about? If you can define yourself at this point as someone that's been participating in flexibility training, stretching, but failed to shift posture, and there's a whole bunch of other things we're going to discuss in a moment. Again, we're going to do 2 parts, maybe 3 parts. I don't know if they're going to be in sequence or I'll break them up. You guys let me know. Get on the website, straighttalk.cc, let me know. You know, the computer age, everybody wants it quick and fast and then move on to the next topic. We love to skim the surface. Nobody's going deep anymore. That is the really tragic trend. We don't settle down and drop deep into something. We move and skirt the surface. And the more data we accumulate, the smarter we are and the more credentialed we are. And yet I don't see knowledge growing. I see data accumulating. Really think about that as it relates to your health. Because I see tons of my patients do this. I see tons of people go out and research their problem and get a grip on it and a handle on it. And all they're doing is accumulating these near useless articles from the internet. Right. And you see, it's not politically correct to call them useless. So they're not useless. It's a good first step. But I can tell you this, assuredly, a lot of people think it ends at the first step. And I think what we give people today in terms of yoga and massage and these various other things, if you weigh the gains against what you see out there, against the essence of it, there's too much of a gap. So let me bring it back to you. How many of you, off the good money you've spent in yoga classes, Pilates classes, on massage tables, have shifted your posture like the woman on picture number 10 or the gentleman from picture number 9? Because that's the essence of it. So you're way ahead now, at least if you understand that is the goal. When you get there, there is a return on your investment that's absolutely enormous. Okay. What are you going to stretch? All right, so I think you've got a sense of what structural stress is and what you've got to do, or at least the concept of it. All right, now let's talk about some of the muscles. Off the word structural stress, then, we progress to the notion of structural muscles. What muscles in your body do you need to stretch to shift your alignment? What muscles in your body do you need to stretch to shift your alignment? Now, I cannot spend the next 12 hours of radio time. My clients will come in for 3 hours and have a series developed, contoured to them. Takes about 3 hours. And then I have a language. I have a language with them. I have a bunch of rules that from that point on, they're accountable to. I'll give you an example. When you spend months stretching and you say, I'm stretching, what you should be saying is, over a period of time, I have or have not gotten more flexible. So another concept. Stretching is a word. It's an empty word. Getting more flexible, well, that makes stretching functional. The result you want from stretching is to get more flexible. If you're not measuring that increase in flexibility by assessing the shift in your posture, well, then maybe something's wrong. Are you an actor just reading the lines on a script? Are you an actor who's memorized the lines, inhabits the part, and is moving the audience emotionally? That's the difference between stretching and getting flexible. And this is my point. The first requirement or the first standard that you're well advised by me to hold yourself to when you're stretching is are you getting more flexible? Noting that if you are getting more flexible, you will feel your posture begin to change. All right, it's the Medici Show. We're going to put the concepts together. Structural stress, stretching versus flexibility. Understanding that if you're not shifting your posture over time, there's something terribly wrong with the way you're stretching. Let's get more specific. Let's talk about the psoas muscle. Those of you new to the show, welcome. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is a conceptual show. People will say, but he gave me all this great stuff, and then he didn't tell me what to do. That's your job. Your job is to take it and go with it. I'm giving you the essence. You can get the data anywhere. Our society now has whittled itself down to, if you bring up a topic, people want the topic laid out on the internet so that they can absorb deep concepts that may have taken hundreds of years to evolve. They want it in 20 minutes, and they want it cookbook, and they want to know exactly what to do, like blind mice in a labyrinth, just led from one end of the labyrinth to the next. And they don't want to take the time to stop in the labyrinth and ask themselves how to navigate. They want a set of directions to take them from one side to the other. This will be the death of our culture. We are definitely moving there at a more accelerated, idiotic rate. And the way people look at health and stretching and holistic medicine is classic for the application of this travesty. So what I want you to do with this show is bring the concepts to your soul. It's a different language. I want you to understand that it's okay to be politically incorrect. What do you think you're seeing out there in the nominations right now? How does a guy like Donald Trump get to where he's gotten? He's a very politically incorrect individual. A man like that could never have been elected 10 years ago. What is the culture really starting to think? Starting to question this notion of shut up, put up, keep up, and above all, don't make a squeak. And we have to do that now. So let's apply that to what we all know is stretching. Hold yourself to a standard when you stretch. Over the months, you have to get more flexible or something's wrong. And apply that to where you have your classes. Apply that to your yoga studios, your Pilates studios. Demand it from your practitioners to help you change your posture by getting more flexible. Let's look at picture number 16. Better yet, let's look at picture number 20, the psoas muscle. That is one of the critical muscles that you must learn to stretch and that you must lengthen, that you must contact, that you must develop relationship with. That muscle is attached to your lumbar spine. And then if you look at picture 14, it moves from the lumbar spine all the way down and attaches into the thigh on the inside. That muscle is a hip flexor. If that muscle doesn't get length, your body falls apart. It is impossible to shift your alignment without working on the psoas to lengthen it. So when was the last time you went to the massage therapist and said, my neck hurts, would you hit my neck? When was the last time you went to the chiropractor and said, my neck hurts, would you crack my neck? When was the last time you were in a whiplash or you had some sort of a neck and shoulder injury and you went to your physical therapist because your orthopedic guy sent you there and your physical therapist worked on your neck? That's idiotic. Okay. I said it. If the pelvis doesn't shift, you can't expect the neck to truly become functional. There's a concept here. And the concept is every part of the body is connected to every other part of the body. There is no such thing as stretching one part of the body. There's no such thing as show me those stretches for the neck. There's no such thing as show me those stretches for the low back. Every part of the muscular system is so integrally connected to other parts of the muscular system that you can't get critical mass. You can't get the result. You're really working uphill if you forget the fact that the stretches for the pelvis will help the stretches for the neck, and the stretches for the neck will reciprocate back into the pelvis. So here's a law. It's the law of reciprocity. Postures change, alignments change, structural stress melts away if you can work the law of reciprocity. In other words, all body parts have to be stretched. And you can make a big to-do out of what order they need to be stretched in. Start with the bigger muscle groups first. But the point is, if we're talking about a psoas muscle, which is a critical muscle to develop relationship with, understand that this will be one of a number of muscles, all of which will be talking to each other, without which you will not significantly realign yourself. Okay. So you got that psoas muscle. Now look at what happens when that psoas muscle pulls tight. Let's go to picture 13. Many of you have heard me talk about the psoas muscle and a shortened psoas muscle and what it does. So that psoas muscle there on the left, when that psoas muscle becomes tight, it looks like the psoas on the right. And you develop a sway back. Now, once you have a sway back, well, then I want you to get the concept behind that. Go up to picture 6 now. Go back up to picture 6. Once you develop the sway back, once the psoas becomes incompetent, once that occurs, you start to look like the guy on the left. That's the beginning of the end. Once the pelvis goes, once the root goes, you start to look like the person on the left, and everything else topples. So now your gravity line, the vectors of force from the head down to the foot, are all going in the wrong directions. The force that descends from the top of your head, we call this gravity, to your feet, is being distributed into parts of your joint that your joint is not designed to take it. So one muscle you've got to stretch is the psoas. There's a bunch of them. The psoas, the hamstrings, the adductors, the calves, the Achilles behind the knee, quadratus lumborum, the thoracic spine, the pec minor, the scalenes, and the posterior cervicals. There's a bunch of structural muscles. We're going to get into some of them today. And I'll probably get to the rest of them in later parts on this series. But what you're not going to do is say, okay, psoas, hamstrings, adductors, quadriceps, calves, pectoralis minor, thoracic spine, scalenes, got it. And then we go into these positions to stretch the muscle. Anybody can do that. You already know that. You can get that from anywhere, any book, any YouTube. Don't waste your time on this radio show every Saturday or on later in the archives, if that's what you think this is about. What it's about is how to take that data and utilize it effectively to shift the physiology in your body. That is why stretching is an art and a science, because to do that, well, you have to have real understanding. I hope this turns you on. It turns me on. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health, giving you the essences of health and not the superficiality. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. If you're lost in the labyrinth of health, flexibility included, 714-850-1007. Come here and we will set you straight. If you want to engage, the psoas muscle. Let's take a look at some of the stretches for the psoas muscle. And yes, you can go do these. But of course, if you're sick, if you have pain, or any of these things, perhaps you need to do them under supervision. Perhaps you should talk to your medical doctor. Never want to make you guys think you can just look at the pictures and take off with it. That's totally up to you. But let's look at how to stretch the psoas muscle. Look at picture number 22. Look at picture number 22. Now there's someone trying to stretch the psoas muscle. Okay, a Medici insight. If the quads are too tight, you will never get to the psoas muscle in that position. Here's another concept. If your quadriceps, your thigh muscles are too tight, it is impossible to stretch the psoas muscle. So for you to think that, well, that's a psoas stretch, and to get into that position and lunge forward to stretch a psoas muscle, because you understand that's important as it relates to your health, that's a misnomer. Because the psoas muscle is gated, it's owned by the quadriceps. Unless the quadriceps are sufficiently flexible, you can't get to the psoas muscle. Now this guy in picture 23, take a look at this gentleman on 23. For him to have the openness in the hip flexor that you see, his quadriceps are flexible enough so that that stretch is getting to his groin. When the stretch gets to your groin, so when we're talking about the psoas muscle, and you're stretching it, the stretch needs to go into the groin. If you're feeling it in the groin, you're at least accessing the muscle. If it's not getting to the groin, you're not getting to the psoas muscle. You need to work on your quadriceps. That being said, if your quads were flexible, take a look at picture 24. Now there's a woman on a foam roller, hopefully not blowing out her back. If that roller was 2 to 3 inches higher up her back, that would compress the low lumbar spine and throw her back out. But she looks like she's doing it correctly. And you see how the groin is being popped open in that position. And she's pulling her leg back to put more of a stretch into the groin. That woman knows what she's doing. She's stretching her psoas muscle. What part of the psoas muscle? The lower end of the psoas muscle. That gentleman in picture 23 knows what he's doing. He's got the stretch into the groin. If you can't get the stretch, no matter how you stretch it into the groin, forget it. You're not getting the psoas muscle. Now look at the guy on picture 28. He's also stretching very nicely, except he understands he can't get to his psoas muscle. That all-important vital connection to the psoas that controls so much of your autonomic nerve plexuses and therefore so much of the health provided to the organ systems that it's absolutely essential for you to develop relationship with, for you to feel the flexibility and the shift in your posture down in the pelvis as you connect to that muscle. This gentleman's smart enough to know he isn't going to go there. So he's settling for the quadricep. He's just stretching his thigh. I'll show you a better stretch for the thigh. This woman. The next picture. Picture number 29. Look at picture number 29. That woman is stretching. See how the top of the foot is down? So she's stretching the top of the foot. She's stretching the shin. Her butt's down. Her pelvis is squared off. She's stretching the quadricep. And she's stretching a very important muscle in the quadricep. And that muscle's a synergist to the psoas. And that muscle, in fact, if it doesn't get length, you will never get to your psoas. So the guy on picture 28 in the red jacket there can never become the guy in picture 23. 28 never becomes 23 or 24. 28 never becomes 23 or 24 unless they stretch out the rectus femoris like the girl on 29. Uh-oh. Told you 2016 is going to be intense. The guy in 28, picture 28, so just don't blow the pictures up, just scroll. The guy on picture 28 will never become the guy on picture 23 or the woman on 24 unless he stretches like the woman on 29. And the woman on 29 is stretching. Now go to picture 26, blow that up. Look at that, that nice swirl. Picture 26, blow it up. That skeleton is modeling as it spins around its rectus femoris. Don't you just love that? Here's to the internet. Internet is great. But just because you can Google up the data doesn't mean you're doing the research. Please remember that. So there it is, picture 26. That's the rectus femoris. The woman on 29 is stretching the rectus femoris so that ultimately she can be like 23 and 24. Now, if you do that, if you succeed at that, now come on up to picture 13. Don't blow it up. If you succeed at stretching the lower end of the psoas, you start to move from picture 13. You start to move from the guy on the right, the short psoas, to the guy on the left, the lengthened psoas. Now you're starting to understand the genius of stretching. How are you going to remove the structural stress unless you shift the pelvis by accessing the psoas? How are you going to address the structural stress? And now we're putting it together. How are you going to address the structural stress down the back of your muscles, your erector spinae, from your down low to the sacrum all the way to the top of your head? How are you going to address the structural stress there unless you access the psoas by lengthening the quadriceps so you can get to the lower end of that psoas? And how will you know you did it? Okay, so this was my point earlier. You know all this. You stretch your quads. You stretch your psoas. Your massage therapist says, I'm getting in there to work on that psoas. Your Pilates instructor knows these words. Everybody nods their heads and smiles. Yes, we understand this. I want to hold you to a test, a standard. And if you fail here, go back to your drawing board, go back to your therapist and make it work. Because if you're contacting those muscles down there, you will shift your posture in the pelvis. And if you're not shifting the posture in the pelvis, thus changing the gravity line through the knees and the feet, if that's not occurring, well, then you're not getting the result. You're not really going to help yourself, not in that very significant way. We want holistic medicine to prevent surgeries. We want our health practices to stop aging. But we need to hold it to higher standards that are measurable by you, the consumer. And if that doesn't happen, then everyone's just throwing their opinion in, and it's all a lot of nonsense. Now, I've had four major educations, and I will tell you publicly, at least half of everything I've ever learned in chiropractic and acupuncture and nutrition is absolute nonsense. And I will be talking like this more specifically within the year or two. Holistic medicine is an enormously powerful tool. It should be the premier medicine in the world. But it has to flush its nonsense out. So all you have to do as the consumer is get enough education to understand the standard that you need to hold your investment to. You invest in the stock market. You can measure your investment. The viability of your investment in stocks is measured by your return. What is your return when you go to yoga classes? And don't make the mistake of thinking that because you go, you get the return. You don't. You have to get the postural shift. Right, I'm going to keep repeating myself. If you don't like it, tough. Hold yourself to that standard. So, stretch the quads, get more flexible, take the stretch into the groin, feel it into the groin, and then measure the efficacy of the stress by whether or not you shift from the guy on 13 with the short to the long psoas muscle. The payback for that is enormous. And I'll tell you why. Go to picture 15. Go to picture 15. Now there. The person on the left has a short psoas. Look at what that short psoas does. That short psoas pulls his rib cage down. That short psoas pulls his head forward. That short psoas gives him a hypolordosis and jams up L5 into S1. That short psoas crushes the organs in the abdominal cavity. Bladder, uterus, prostate, ovaries, small intestine, large intestine. How many of you have health concerns? Bladder, prostate, ovaries, uterus, small and large intestine. Is it wrong? Is it unscientific? Is it unconstitutional to profess that if because of a postural shift you were to compress these organs, as no one can argue, if the psoas is anterior displaced, is it wrong or illogical to think that if you compress those organs will suffer? I'm telling you, it's the whole point. If the psoas is short, it moves forward and crushes the organs in the lower part of the abdominal cavity. That ain't good. So right there, you can see the relationship between getting flexible, bringing resilience and competence and length to the psoas, and allowing those organs to sit in greater space so they can relax themselves and function more normally. And that's putting it succinctly. And I can see we're not going to go much beyond the psoas today. So as sure as the sky is blue, we'll do a part two very shortly. You sit on this information. Let's talk about stretching in general. So I'm going to get away from the psoas. I had planned, but of course, you can only know what you're going to do until you get there. I had planned to get into picture 30, 31, 32. I'd planned to show you the pec minor. I planned to show you the scalenes. I planned to show you the posterior cervicals. I want to get through the structural muscles. I'll do it over a period of shows. So from henceforth, when I talk about scalenes, posterior cervicals, pec minor, diaphragm, thoracic spine, foam roller, psoas, adductors, hamstrings, you can start to develop a language with me, a language with yourself, and then you hold yourself accountable to standards. And then you take those standards to your yoga classes. You take those standards to your chiropractor. I'm a chiropractor. I don't practice it. I don't do that. I ask people to develop relationship with their body, whether they're being touched, whether they're being stretched, whether they're stretching themselves. I ask them to understand, to enhance the efficacy of all the flexibility work, you got to clean your body. There's a relationship between nutrition and lengthening a muscle. But if we were going to simply stick to the strict confine, okay, the standards that you have to hold yourself to in your yoga class, in your Pilates class, number one, over time, the muscle needs to lengthen. If you've been doing any of this for 6 months, that muscle must have more length. And the way you know that is if your posture's changed. Number one. Number two, you've got to get fluent. You've got to develop relationship with the word release. When you release a muscle, this warm, wonderful circulating feeling occurs. You can call it prana. You can call it chi. You can call it anything you want. Make up your own name for it. You can call it the muscles relaxing. But you've got to get that result when you stretch a muscle. If you're not getting chi or prana when you stretch a muscle, something's wrong. If your posture is not changing over time as you feel the muscle lengthening, if that's not happening, something's wrong. If over a period of months you don't have 20, 30, 40, 50% increase in the range of motion of the muscle, something's wrong. If you're not starting to feel tension as you progress, where you've never felt tension before, tension in new and different and deeper places, something's wrong. So write that down. Make a mental note of that. Ways to determine if the stretching is working. Are you getting a return on your investment? If you're paying somebody to stretch you, if you're paying a massage therapist, if you're paying a chiropractor, if you're paying the monthly of a Pilates class, if you're paying the monthly in a yoga class, if you're in two yoga studios because your teachers are in different places, if you're paying it per class over a period of months, are the muscles lengthening? Is your posture changing? Are you getting deep pranic release when you stretch? Can you bring that release to your breath now? And all that simply means is that warm feeling you get when you stretch, when you take a breath, you get that warm feeling. Don't complicate it. Getting your breath doesn't mean much more than what I just said. And of course, I'm sure that's going to send whiplash through the healing arts community, because we all have written our volumes on breath. Keep it simple. If you stretch your hamstring and you get a warm, wonderful feeling in your body and your alignment changes, you're doing good. And if you start taking a breath through the nose and you can generate that feeling just through breath, as if you had a glass of wine, but all you did was take a breath, you're doing good. Keep it simple like that, but hold yourself to those standards and don't deceive yourself. Okay, the standards. The standards of stretching. Other concepts. Want to lay out some general concepts about stretching. There's a certain point at which you will find that you can't get any more flexible. That you're relatively sure that you're putting the time in and you're just sitting there in the pose, but it seems like everything you stretch out goes back tight, and everything you stretch out goes back tight. So let's integrate into that now. To understand how your ability to lengthen muscle is limited by things outside the art of stretching, to understand that your flexibility regimen can be limited in its effect due to variables outside the specifics of stretching, is to understand the word fascia. There's a certain point at which you have to address your adhesions. Adhesions. I'm not going to do it on today's show, but on your own time, fascia magnified 25 times. Get on the website later, straighttalk.cc. Buy the show, better yet, buy the subscription. And look at that YouTube clip. Because that fascia tends to ravel itself around the muscle like a rat's nest. Look at picture 11. Picture 11 is a rat's nest. It's a labyrinth of sticky fascia on muscle fibers that can and often means that you're going to have limited result when you're doing your flexibility training. And of course, the first thing you need to do is learn to stretch correctly. But if you're reasonably sure, and of course, isn't that the point of the show? But I want you to understand now that even if you understand how to get more flexible, even if you know what that feels like because you've done it before. Even if you're a dancer, an athlete, a yogic, a Pilates instructor, John Q. Public used to run and remembered what it was like to get more flexible and change one's alignment. And you begin to feel you're in the law of diminishing returns, meaning the time you're putting in isn't getting you the result. Understand there are variables outside of your flexibility regimen that control flexibility. And the first place you got to go is adhesions. See, Ida Rolf wasn't about teaching people to stretch. She was about lengthening muscle by working out adhesions. That's another aspect of this. So you check that YouTube clip later. And understand that when you hear me talk often about cross-fibering the muscle where it meets the bone, it's in the interest of increasing the flexibility and length of the muscle so you can pull the organ systems and you can pull the joints into different lines. Wow. What a show. I'm proud. A lot of concepts here. A lot of concepts here for you to think about, explore, and understand. If you're sitting there in pain, if you've got health concerns, organ dysfunction, whatever you've got, there's a structural aspect to this. That structural aspect to your organ dysfunction, to your health concern, is about flexibility. It's about adhesions. And you can't really close the deal until you deal with structure. Nutrition's one limb, structure's another. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. If you're lost in the labyrinth, 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. Drop me a word or two on the website. We'll start with part two of the art and science of flexibility training. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.